You're listening to Customer Perspective, an Ipsos podcast. This is Season 4, Episode 7.
Welcome to our final episode of Season 4 of Customer Perspective. This is our Ipsos podcast series where we get to explore all things customer experience and channel performance. And don't worry, we'll be back in January with Season 5. So I'm Helen Wilson. I'm the Global Chief Experience Officer for our Ipsos CX and Channel Performance business. And today we've got another cool guest. So I'm joined by Mark Binningham. Now, he is Group Customer Operations and CX Director for the Very Group. And you all know, I'm sure, the Very Group, but they're the UK's largest integrated retail and financial services provider. So that's the home of very.co.uk, of littlewoods.com. And I am also delighted to be joined by my Ipsos Moray colleague, Head of Experience Management, Jamie Thorpe. Jamie, it's so lovely to be rounding off the year with you. And I've got a feeling, actually, I'm starting a year with you as well. So you're kind of like a customer perspective.
like a bookend. Nothing called work, yeah. Helen.
I've called you work. Right then. So, Mark, I'm just going to come back to you for a minute before I head you off with Jamie. But last time we saw each other, we were both standing on a stage, but me giving and you receiving. And I just wanted to offer my congratulations. So I was delighted in my role of chair of judges for the ECSAs, that's the European Contact Centre and Customer Service Awards, to be presenting your customer care team with the gold award for the best customer service in Europe. So I think your team scooped 3 awards that night. So absolutely. Yeah. Incredible achievement. So welcome and congratulations. And it is so lovely to have you here today.
Thank you very much.
And a good night was had by all, I'm sure, Mark.
Yes, enthusiasm, I think Helen and I described it as. Yes, it was a great night for all. And it was a fitting result for 4 years hard work for the team as well. So, an amazing achievement. And we had a good night, but it was well deserved, I think.
Very good. Excellent. And nothing more fitting than being recognised by industry and by peers. So that's amazing. Good work. Well done, mate. Well, it's great to have you here. As Helen said, thank you for finding the time. I can't imagine that Berry is that busy at this time of year running up to Christmas. I imagine it's nice and quiet. Everyone's just chilled. So I know you're mad. So thank you for finding time. So for the people listening to the podcast that don't know you, well, you know, obviously, where have they been? But outside of that, maybe you could give us an intro to you and your role in CX, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course, Jamie. I've probably worked in CX in some guise or form for the last 20 odd years. I took the typical career path of finishing university, getting a job in a contact centre for British Gas, saying I'm only going to be there for 12 months. And then I'll get a proper job, and 20 years later, I'm still working in contact centres. But I think we'll all agree, for those that have done it, it's a fabulous career. It's a brilliant way of learning how to lead people and how to lead through complexity and difficult times. And, you know, I've enjoyed every single minute of it. And I guess my career stemmed from that: call centres, contact centre management, through to project management, through to CX, MPS improvement, continuous improvement. And I guess I find myself after those 20 years here at the Very Group leading everything customer, basically. So all of our customer operations, all of our MPS and CX initiatives, and really kind of as the, I want to say, the guardian of the customer across the organization, really. I don't want to class myself as the only person who looks after customer, because the whole business, and I guess we'll talk about it in this session, is really geared around focusing on our customers. And that's been a journey over time. Before I was here, I was at Vodafone for 5 years doing a similar role, and then at British Gas for 15 years before that. So I've had quite a bit of experience of looking after customers across those different roles.
Very good. Yeah, excellent. And it's always interesting to hear how people got to where they are. I was sat in virtually in your seat recently being interviewed, and someone said to me, how did you get into CX? And first thing that came to my head was accidentally. And I think it's interesting that you talk about that path, but, you know, what an amazing industry to be in. You talk about the experience, and, you know, we talk about Very, and fascinating and hugely successful business, very, very good, very, very cool, very funky. I love what they do. How important is it to get the experience right?
Hugely. And I think, you know, it's amazing you describe us as cool and funky, because we're a 100-year-old business that effectively started out as a mail order catalogue business. We had retail shops. We got rid of retail shops. We had catalogues. We got rid of catalogues. And now we're a purely online retailer. So, you know, I think we're one of the only businesses out there that's kind of made that shift to 100% digital from being in a historic retail organization. And that's, you know, that's not luck. That's really good judgment from our owners and the people that have run the business. And I think, you know, here at Very, we pride ourselves in looking after our customers. And in answer to your question, Jamie, that we have, you know, 4 million customers who are, you know, have an ongoing relationship with Very, and that's the success of the customer. So if we don't get it right, you know, we're in trouble, because we have to rely on those customers coming back time and time again, getting a great service with us and a great experience, because our business thrives on keeping customers for a long period of time and them continually shopping with us. You know, this business model wouldn't work if a customer came to us, paid for something and then left and never shopped with us again. So, you know, we have to make sure experience is front and center of what we do. And that's evolved over time. You know, that's gone from the Littlewoods person coming round to your house, collecting money and showing you the catalogue, to retail stores which showcased our goods, to today, where we have to procure and create a great online shopping experience for our customers, you know, which is comparable to some fantastic competition out there, and allows our customers to find what they want quickly, shop with us, and, you know, and pay for it in a way that suits them.
Yeah, it is interesting, and I've been to the offices, and I can see how impressive an operation it is. And I think the comment about the cool and funky really is interesting, because I've got a big thing about brands sharing their personality in everything that they do, and that's where that comment has come from. You can see, you know, in the adverts, you can see it in the hear it in the radio adverts, you can see it in the communications, and people like that, right? It's part of the experience. It is you are connecting with your customer, and that's something that shines through. And the experience, certainly that I've had, it is you make it easy, because the business understands clearly barriers are what will stop people and think, actually, that wasn't that easy. And you are compared against, as you say, some very good online retailers as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's 100 years of understanding customers and being really clear about the target market that we, you know, we serve, but equally not blocking ourselves off in terms of avenues to new customers, new demographics, new types of products. And, you know, because you can spread the cost with Very, it opens us up to markets and, you know, segments that perhaps other areas don't do. And that, you know, is brilliant for us, and it's brilliant for the brands that we supply as well, because it gives them the opportunity to access new markets as well. Our responsibility is to do it in the best experience for those customers and protect them through that experience. And, you know, that's where we spend a lot of time focusing our attention.
Yeah, very good. And, you know, before we go deeper into what CX is at Very, actually, I could ask you maybe just to look at it from the industry point of view, because obviously having been in CX for the years that you've mentioned you have, obviously I've seen it change significantly. What's your view on the CX market as a whole now, and how it's evolved in recent times?
I think there is far less opportunity to get things wrong these days. I think customer expectation and drive is probably at its highest ever levels, and you might agree or disagree, I guess, with that. I think, you know, particularly as we've been through a period of digitization, some great new online brands have emerged with, you know, a real focus on getting it right, with no baggage from a technical perspective, and the ability to design processes from scratch with some great products. You know, customers' levels of expectation have risen to, you know, levels that perhaps I think we've never seen before. And I think that's a great thing, but it means we've all got to keep up with it and keep moving and keep continually moving forward. It also means if you get it wrong, you know, the consequences are you lose that customer, because there's less tolerance for failure, and there's lots of competition out there in the market. So I think the stakes have never been higher, but I think that's a great thing for the industry and a great thing for customers. And as a consumer myself, You know, I've noticed a huge difference, but you also notice a real lack of tolerance for companies that get things wrong. And obviously the social media and all the different channels out there that are available, being that, you know, there is many platforms for people to show dissatisfaction, and that's changed the industry in a different way, which is, you know, you have to be really cognizant of everything that's going around you socially and make sure that you can service people through many different channels and forums as well.
Yeah, I mean, I agree completely. I think the time is now from a customer power point of view. People are more and more aware of their value and their value to organizations, and they're more prepared to vote with their feet. You know, and there is essentially nowhere for organizations to hide now. It is the bar is rising, whether you're shopping online at Very, buying a car, buying a, you know, a house, you know, whatever the experience is, people are leveling that experience benchmark, if you like, and they're looking to say, actually, this is what I expect. So yeah, we see that as well. Would you say, given that expectation, the need to be active is greater than it has been before?
I think that the need to show you care is absolutely, you know, front and center. I think the need to, as I said before, to kind of survey all of your surroundings and understand the whole macro environment that's going on around you and how people are feeling generally, particularly as we've been through the last 2 years with COVID as well. You know, you see lots of people who are going through lots of changes in their lifestyles, and that, you know, impacts the way they interact with brands. It interacts the way that they shop. You know, people are far more confident shopping online perhaps than they were 2 years ago. There's been a big shift in the market. You just mentioned it. You know, people are quite happy to buy a car now online. That's a pretty big, yeah. Just to be fair, people will virtually view and buy houses online now, which, you know, the market has shifted. There's a level of bravery from customers, but that needs to be backed up by a level of security from firms and a real understanding of what people's wants and needs and drivers are, as well as, you know, making sure they feel safe and protected in that environment as well.
And, you know, you mentioned the pandemic, so, you know, I'll ask a question on it. The change in the relationship, because it's not just experience, you've sort of lent into it a little bit there in terms of confidence and trust. There is almost this need to take care of your customers in a slightly different way than there ever was before. That's obviously impacted how you're serving customers and the experience you're delivering.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, what we've made sure during this time is, firstly, there are people available and there, you know, to answer people's questions instantly. We've been on a huge drive over the last couple of years to digitize our customer experience, to provide more online self-service for our customers, to provide 24-hour round-the-clock support from an online self-service perspective. But equally, as we've gone through the last 2 years, that need for personal touch, that need to be there in a moment of difficulty for customers has never been higher. And I guess we spent a lot of time over the last couple of years making sure all those channels are open and that people are available to talk. People have the right training and support from a customer service perspective as well. You know, the rise of, you know, the change that people have been through the pandemic, you know, the difficult situations people have had to navigate has changed the role of people in the CX and the customer service industry to, as you say, make sure they've got the right training, make sure there's a level of understanding and empathy that's not been there before. And that flips both ways, right? That's not just for customers. That's for the people answering these queries as well, who are going that as well. And, you know, I know the Institute of Customer Service have a big drive at the minute about supporting colleagues as well. And I think there's a real careful of balance for organizations that you're supporting not only the customers, but the people serving those customers as well.
Yeah. And you know, we talk about it a lot. We've seen, it's funny how things have changed. We've seen an increase in customers caring how brands treat employees. You know, the change in what is important to people in terms of their values, people buying from organizations that share the same social values, people outraged at people acting inappropriately within organizations or showing disregard for, you know, anything from tax rules to certain legislations. It back to that vote with their feet, it changes everything. And the employee piece has been a really strong piece. And I think I like to think that people are come out of this and we are all maybe a little bit more understanding and maybe that, or maybe that little bit kinder, and especially of the people in call centers, because they, you know, they recognize they're part of a, you know, a big machine and a big engine, and they're just there trying to help.
Yeah. And those roles are changing hugely. I mean, we've talked about it for years, I guess, in the customer service world, but simple types of queries are dissipating away as we provide better and better online service. And therefore, roles become far more complex, need a lot more training, and colleagues need, you know, a lot of support through that. You know, my teams today are not what we'd perhaps classed traditional customer service people from 15 years ago. We've got counsellors in there who are helping people through financial difficulties. We've got fraud experts who are investigating potential fraud. You know, even when it comes to frontline customer service, we've got complex problem-solving skills that are needed to fix and unpick gnarly issues for customers. And therefore, the whole landscape has shifted. And, you know, we've been on a journey for the last couple of years to make sure that, you know, the environment is right for people and the right training, the right skills are in place. And that just doesn't go for frontline customer service. That goes for CX as well. You know, we've evolved perhaps reading an NPS score and saying good, bad, indifferent, are we good, are we bad, to let's dive into those NPS scores. Let's understand the real data that sits behind it through data science, and let's make tangible changes for our customers. And therefore, we need data scientists and, you know, complex problem solvers who are going to help us fix problems. So whether you're in frontline customer service or just, you know, CX in general, the skills are changing and the level of support we need to provide for people is rising all the time, in my view.
Yeah, I agreed. And as you've referenced there, or touched on the difference now in the ability to self-serve, the what we can do online now and what we're prepared to do online now as consumers is very different. And when, so thinking about, I mean, I'm the world's most impatient man, and if I'm not, I'm certainly in the top three. So I'm, you know, I go on the website, on a website, doesn't matter which it is, if it doesn't give me what I need in seconds, I'm gone. You know, my user experience stats would be off the chart. So you know, having to cope with people like me and online digital experience and UX, you know, if I'd gone back to Mark in British Gas Call Centre, you know, 20 years ago and said, hey, Mark, digital experience and user experience, it's a very different world. But now, that big focus on digital and UX must be huge for you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And we, you know, we invested quite a few years back now in quite a state-of-the-art UX lab in the Very Group, which is kind of front and center as you walk through the door in our main headquarters. And pre-pandemic, we'd have customers in there 5 days a week testing the user journeys, testing the experience. You know, from my perspective around CX, testing the chatbot, testing some of our key self-service journeys, because there's no better way to understand whether your UX works or not than live testing on customers and you know, in a test environment, so you can get it right for when you release it. We've found a way during the pandemic of doing that virtually, and it's absolutely crucial to what we do, because we recognize there's a lot of Jamies out there that will only do things if it's in two or three clicks. And we know that, you know, beyond five clicks, six clicks, you're losing people straight away. And, you know, that's never been any different. It's just starker now because there is so much choice and there's so much opportunity out there. You know, you can go onto a website and within seconds you can have picked something, chose it and paid for it. You pay for it without even knowing you've paid for it. Sometimes, you know, with Apple Pay and some of the more prominent solutions for payments out there at the moment, and I think, you know, we still, because we are a financial services company, so we still have a number of balances and checks that we have to make sure, you know, we do that in the right way for our customers here at the Very Group. But we are also conscious that if we make it too difficult, it won't work. So there's a fine balance to strike there, but it's equally, you know, it's a constant thought for us. It's how we design things. We're constantly trying to make it better. If I look at our top detractors from a customer perspective, when we look at NPS, you know, parts of our customer journey are always within there. And that's where we spend a lot of time and effort testing them with customers and trying to fix them, and testing them for our customers as well, because we're conscious that our 4 million customers, you know, act and like a certain way, and we don't want to change that without testing it with them first. So I think you're right. UX is front should be front and center of every organization's thinking. And I don't just think that sits for an online business either. I think I don't think physical retail does enough UX, if I'm being brutally honest as well. Mm. Some of it works and some of it doesn't. You know, there's some stores that are hugely successful that I go into and think it looks like a jumble sale. That worked for some people. I prefer to be able to get in and get out as soon as I can, not try something on if I don't have to and just get in and out. But that's because my physical version of UX is probably similar to your online version of UX, Jamie, to be fair. I think, but then other people would like it as an experience. So really understanding your customers is crucial. Yeah. I guess that's not new news, but I think it's just intense in the current world.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's funny, I went and had my booster jab last night and the user experience was amazing. You know, it was just so slick and no one wants to be there. They want to be in, done and out. And you look at it and think, these guys and girls are going through, you know, hundreds of thousands of people a day. How does some brand still get it wrong? So, yeah, I agree with you on it's not just reserved for online. It's, very interesting. What about, can I ask you about social and reputation? Because, you know, we've all seen the horror stories and various people have varying views on it. What does this mean, that area mean for you guys?
I think, listen, for the last at least 10 years of my career, social has been, for me, one of the key areas that I look at as one of the leaders in the business, looking at our customer experience. It's an early warning sign for problems, but it's also a great sign of things that are going well as well. And I think you need to balance those successes and key areas of improvement. I treat social as you could call it a brand facing team or as a complaints team, because I think it is the sharp end of customer experience. And, you know, we manage it really tightly. So we'll answer 99% of queries within 60 minutes. That's because we want to make sure that we're on top of social. We understand it. We know what our customers are saying. We know how our customers are feeling. I do think, you know, if you look at certain brands and where things have gone wrong for people in a social environment, it's where they've not monitored it. They don't treat it in the right way, and they don't stay on top of that social listening, which I think is hugely important for every organization. You know, it's a key feed for me into what are our top customer pain points and what do we improve. But we also, you know, have a really highly trained team of people who are on it and can do everything for a customer as well. And I think that's the other bit is, that's where I say it's almost a customer resolution team. And it needs, where I see social fail sometimes is where people give blanket responses to stuff. They don't understand the issue. It's a way of almost pushing somebody away rather than pulling somebody in to an organization. And in my world, it's always worked better when we bring people in through that channel and we serve them in the right way. Obviously, you can't serve people, you know, you can't be publicly, you know, solving customer issues. You need to bring them offline and do that in the right way. But equally, showing that you care, showing that you're on it and showing that you're dealing with stuff for me is a really good way of improving your brand reputation rather than what can happen sometimes, which is, you know, it goes the other way for brands, I guess.
Yeah, agree. And some of those automated replies are actually probably more damaging than no reply. You know, I've seen some of them are very poorly handled. You mentioned about going back to customers within 60 minutes, and that's fantastic. That's a great response time. And people who are coming through on social media to vent their spleen, that's great. You also mentioned looking at NPS scores and you know, those low scores or those detractors. How do you close the loop outside of your social capability?
So our philosophy around continuous improvement, understanding what our customers say, we drag in data from all sources. So social will be one of them. Trustpilot will be another. NPS will be another. We take every, for me, more is more rather than less is more. I will take as much customer data as I can possibly get, and I will feed it in. And what we've built within the Very Group, which has been really successful, is a great data science team who take all of that data, look at it, and then allow us to kind of aggregate what are our key customer issues that we want to face into. Because I think what you find in this area is you can get lost in the data. Yeah. You know, we've all been in the classic meetings and forums where listening is really important, and listening to our advisors is a big part of what we do. But equally, you can walk up to an advisor and go, what are our customers saying today? And they'll say X. Well, X might be a problem, but actually there might be a massive Z problem over here that you're moving away from. So we use the data, we use our data science team to aggregate that data, and then we understand our key areas. So, you know, we've moved our brand NPS at 8 points over the last couple of years upwards. And we've done that by listening and understanding what our biggest pain points are and improving them. So for instance, as you'd imagine with a retailer, delivery and delivering on time is huge for our customers. We perhaps classed it alongside everything else as another problem a couple of years ago, but we now understand if we get it wrong in that area, it disproportionately puts our customers off. And therefore, we focus a lot of attention on making sure that's right. We've improved it by 50% over the last couple of years. That has had a disproportionate impact on how customers perceive us. And I think it's finding those nuggets through the data and making sure that you've got the right science to back up these are the right nuggets to go after is how we do it. And social's just a part of that, Jamie. I guess there's a huge amount of inputs that we use to do that. And I think, you know, you guys know this better than us, but getting from an NPS score to actually what's the problem and how do you fix it is where a lot of organizations have struggled in the past. We still need work on that journey, but we're a lot further ahead than we were a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and all that is absolutely music to my ears, as you can imagine. And you know, spare the blushes of many organizations. So many people still chasing an NPS score. You know, what does it actually mean? You know, and I'm not rubbishing NPS, but you know, in a business like yours, I'm more interested in the people that actually advocate, not those that will say they will advocate, and actions speak louder than words, and lots of other different analogies you could bring, but all of it's true, right? And you've seen the performance, you've seen the improvement from delivering that CX. So yeah, you know, hats off to you guys. So couple of I don't know, maybe personal things. I'm not going to go too personal. I'm not going to ask your favorite color or anything like that.
Good.
you were recently listed as a CX leader, which was great to see. What did that mean to you? What did that, we talked early on about the recognition for Ray, but for you personally, for Brand Billingham, what did that mean to you?
I personally thrive, and you'll have seen this during my time at Very and probably Vodafone. What drives me is leading a team that do a good job and get recognised for doing that good job. And therefore, any recognition is absolutely fantastic. I think for me, I always feel a bit of a fraud in the nicest possible sense, in that it's not me, it's an entire team of people that have sat behind improving what we've done here at the Very Group. I'm happy to lead. I'm happy to... You know, but I don't class that recognition as solely my own. I also think, and I always feel a bit betwixt and between about CX leadership polls, because it's always a mix of people who are doing great jobs influencing the industry on what we should be doing and people who are delivering improvements. I class myself more as somebody who's doing it rather than somebody who's helping other people do it, and therefore I always don't know where to put myself in those camps, to be honest. Yeah. I'm just glad that we as a team are being recognised, and that, you know, the improvements that we're making are being recognised. And, you know, that means we're doing something right, which is great. So for me, it's not necessarily about that recognition itself. It's the justification we're doing a good job, Jamie.
Yeah, no, I get you completely. I mean, first of all, that's amazingly laudable. And second, I completely agree on the, you know, the polls and those sorts of things are much more focused on the doing rather than the profile of it. So yeah, fantastic. Now, what are the things that drive you nuts? You know, what drives you nuts about CX? You must have a bugbear or two.
Yeah, well, we've touched on it a little bit there, to be fair. I think there seems to be a constant debate raging about CX and whether the practice of CX is a good thing or a bad thing, and whether or not the support of CX is the right thing to do. That drives me mad, because we're all in the same game, which is improving things for customers. Some people do it in some ways and some people do it in another way. And I think what we should all be doing is just as a community coming together and making sure that we make the best possible improvements for customers moving forward. I think that the second thing that drives me mad is where people and brands kind of, you can see that the customer journey's not been thought through in the right way. and the right decisions and balances haven't been put in the right place. And I can't understand these days any organization that doesn't have, whether it's CX, whether it's chief customer officer, whatever it is, in the higher levels of the organization to make sure that the customer is thought about in every decision. And I think that, you can spot the brands that do it and you can spot the brands that don't do it. And I think we talked about it through this session, the level of expectation from customers is so high. If you don't put the customer at the heart of your decision making, it's a pretty short business model, I think, is that. And I still think there's a number of brands there that perhaps put commercial decisions ahead of customer decisions. And that's probably my biggest bugbear, to be honest. And that's what I try and rally against, in any kind of forums or wider industry stuff that I'm doing.
And that's it, you've answered the question I was going to ask, which is, believe it or not, there are some brands still that don't believe in this. They will put marketing or other things in front of it. What would you say to them? I think you've answered that. So, the power is in what you get from doing CX properly, and those people that don't do it properly don't get it, and they don't know what they're missing, frankly. As I draw us to a close here, I'd like to ask you for your top tips, Mark's top tips. What are, someone coming new to CX or at the early stage of a CX program, what are the things, if you had to pick maybe three or less or more, what are the things you would say to those people when they approach their CX?
Okay. There's probably about 100, but I'll try for three. I think first and foremost, don't run before you can walk. Fix the basics before you try and do anything complicated. I think there's a number of organizations and a number of industry kind of examples where, people are trying to install great technology before they've fixed the basic stuff that's broken, whether that's process, first contact resolution, whatever that might be. So my first bit of advice would be fix the basics first. My second bit of advice would be understand what your customers need and why they need it and all the reasons they need it. So, and that is a big piece of work. Here at the Very Group, there's 10,000 reasons why our customers need us. And you think at a high level, people shop, people buy, people return, people pay for stuff. How many reasons can there be? You've got to fully understand your customer atmosphere to get the right outcomes for those customers. And I think that's tip two. And then tip three is don't be afraid to make brave decisions. I've done it well and I've done it badly, but every time I've learned from it. Chatbot's a perfect example of that. We've got the biggest chatbot in the UK here at the Very Group in terms of customer numbers. This is the third time I've done it, and this is the only time I've got it right. So, don't be afraid to try and fail would be decision number three.
Mark, that's amazing. Thank you so much for that. It's really, really insightful. And there you go, finishing on, on personality again. Don't be afraid, be bold. And I love what you guys are doing and everything that you stand for. In recent weeks, I've seen you. What have you been doing? You've been doing morning exercises, Mr. Motivator. That one made me smile. And then I saw you walking across hot coals. The culture, as they say, strategy for breakfast, and clearly that comes through, and it's what you're delivering is what you're living. So it's really, really nice to see. So thank you so much for taking the time. It's been great to talk to you, Helen. What do you make of that?
Do you know what? I love this bit. I love it when you come on, Jamie, because you can lead the questions. So I just get to sit back and to listen to complete experts in the space, but also just so down to earth, saying it like it is. And back to your point, just being brave about making this brilliant world of ours work. Thanks, Mark. It's fab.
No problem. It's been great to talk to you both today.
Thanks, Mark. Good man.
Thank you for listening to Customer Perspective, an Ipsos podcast. New episodes will be made available every 2 weeks, so make sure to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast app to get the episodes sent straight to you. We're also available on Spotify.